Good morning, and welcome to the May 28, 2020 Board Workshop of the Central Florida Express Lane Authority. This workshop is a follow-up to the workshop that we held on May 14th. If you would please silence your devices, and having just celebrated Memorial Day, a day that we honor and remember those who have paid the ultimate price for our freedom, I'd like to ask Mayor Dyer to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Please rise.
Please join me. I pledge allegiance to the flag, United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mayor Dyer. Today's workshop is being audio streamed live by Orange TV, also being recorded for the public record. The audio recordings of this workshop will be available to the public to listen to at their convenience on our website. Ms. Lamont, would you please conduct the roll call? Please verbally confirm your attendance.
Good morning.
I think you
Commissioner Brandon Arrington.
Present.
Mayor Jerry Demings.
Present.
Mayor Buddy Dyer.
Here.
Ms. Andrea Herr.
Here.
Mr. Jay Madeira, who's out. Commissioner John Parks.
Good morning, I'm here.
Good morning. Commissioner Kurt Smith.
Here.
Morning. Commissioner Betsy Vanderlei.
I'm here and happy to bring everyone.
Good morning. Chairman, all eight board members are present.
Thank you. And as I understand it, Mr. Madeira will be joining us around 10 o'clock this morning. Just a few quick reminders on this virtual workshop. If you remember to mute your line when you're not speaking and to state your name before you speak or make comments. We're going to use the chat button, but again, they don't always pop through or there's some kind of delay. So if you hit your chat button and I don't recognize you, just raise your hand and I'll try to keep an eye out for that. If that doesn't work, give me the eye sign and I'll be sure and call on you. Today's workshop will focus on our 2021 fiscal year budget. The budget will come back to us for a final approval at our next regularly scheduled board meeting, which is June the 11th. As in the previous meeting, we asked the public to submit written comments. Guidelines for submitting public comments were included in the workshop notice and the agenda and were posted on our website. Our board secretary, Ms. Lamont, will read any written comments received from the public if we have received any since last night. Ms. Lamont?
Chairman, we have not received any public comment.
Okay, no public comment. All right, so let's move right into our agenda. Ms. Kelly, good morning.
I just want to begin by thanking Lisa Lombard, our CFO, and her team, and Hugh Miller and everyone at CDM Smith for their hard work. They have worked night and day for 2 weeks to provide you with three more scenarios, which they'll present today. So I'd like to call on Hugh Miller to present the details and really go into more detail on his forecast. Hugh?
Yes, thanks, Laura. Question, can you see my presentation?
Yes.
Okay, good. Good morning, board members. I'm here, as Laura said, and I'm here to provide some more details about about the traffic and revenue forecasts that you saw a couple weeks ago, and to also show you some more, some revised things in response to your comments from the last meeting. First, let me say, CDM Smith is a leader in traffic and revenue studies, and we are actually preparing estimates of the impacts from COVID-19 for most of those clients. And so you're not alone. Let's see. Let me begin by talking about the base forecast. These were published in January. The impacts are applied to these base forecasts. The first thing I wanted to say, or reason to point this out, was something we didn't talk about last time, was that there's a significant amount of growth between 20 and 21. It's almost $40 million in revenue, and you can see the growth rate is 7.6%. The reasons, the sources for this growth, there's a lot of them, but some main ones that are unique to just this period is that Hurricane Dorian occurred in 2020, which made 2020 lower. We don't have a hurricane forecasted for 2021. The Poinciana Parkway is two additions that additional revenues that appeared in here that are also going to happen. And then finally, there's the rate adjustments, such as the new pay-by-play rate. These increases are relevant and part of the forecast. They'll be part of the recovery. Since the last workshop, I spent a little more time digging into some little more details about it, the Great Recession. There was a pre-recession that lasted a year and 2 months with a reduction of about 10%. The recession itself, the main event, lasted a year and involved a reduction of 55%. And this was followed by a post-recession recovery that lasted 2 years and 9 months. It was very slow growth rate. The average in here, it started a bigger reduction and came back up. The average is about 10%. So in total, the Great Recession lasted 5 years, and it was followed by a period of extraordinary growth. We'll use this information in creating the scenarios we talk about in a minute. This is the recent impacts. It's updated from what we showed you a couple weeks ago. The variance, this is variance in daily transactions. It's the daily transactions in 2020 less the transactions in the same day in 2019 expressed as a percentage. And this is a similar pattern that appeared at all toll locations. The decline started in the second week of March, kind of bottomed out in the second week of April, and has the impacts have lessened since then. This has got some more details about the transaction variance. There's a lot of numbers here, but this shows all the mainline plazas, a weekly variance expressed as a number. And again, at the bottom, there's an aggregate number at the very bottom. You can see that it started in the second week of March. It bottomed out at 55% in the second week of April and has been coming back ever since. So we know at this point from this, we know that the low point was 55% reduction, and it lasted about 5 weeks, if you want to say that, and we've been recovering since then. I want to also point out in this chart two plazas. We'll use this later, but there's persistent issues at the plazas connected near tourist destinations. So John Young Parkway is the plaza at the southern end of the State Route 417, the Central Florida Greenway. It's down near the I-4 part on very south end. It's been 20 to 25% lower than the average. And then the Boggy Creek Plaza is the next one further north on 417. It's south and west of the airport, southern entrance to the airport. It's been 10 to 12% lower than the average. This has happened right from the beginning. It happened. All right, so I wanted to spend a little more details that we talked about. I mentioned last time things like lasting effects. These are long-term effects that have happened or we expect to happen because of the pandemic. One is people think that we've learned how to, work from home, telecommuting. So this, but not all industries have the same opportunity to work at home. The chart on the left shows, has a distribution of Central Florida employees by industry. And we created low and high estimates about the potential increase in telecommuting. And the high estimate is generous. The low estimate is not so generous. And from this, we created an estimate that the opportunity for telecommuting might be between 6.6 and 15.1%. But not all trips are commuting trips. So the table in the top shows a distribution of trips by trip purpose. And the home-based work trips, the telecommuting trips, are 11.8% of the total trips people make per day. So if we apply those two things and assume that the people that will telecommute, the new people that will telecommute, will commute 3 days a week, we'll do that 3 days a week, we end up with a reduction in trips, a lasting effect, if you will, of 1.1%. Another kind of long-term effect that we were trying to include in here and trying to get an estimate of it was had to do with a reduction might be impacts to tourism. So what we did, and again, not all plazas serve these tourist destinations. So we're trying to get an estimate of it. So what we did is we assumed the four plazas. This is a chart of all the plazas on CFX. And the top part of the chart is the revenue collected and forecasted for the first 3 years of the forecast. So what we've done is we said, what if John Young, the effects at John Young were 30%, Boggy Creek 20%, the airport plazas on 528 west of, it's a beach line west of the airport over towards I-4. And we added 10% in Independence, which is the southernmost plaza on 429, kind of the backside of that theme parks. So anyways, if we put those in there, we're just trying to get an estimate what might be. We end up with the effect of overall system reduction of those large reductions at those four plazas is 6.7% of system total. And we were thinking that if that reduced half each of the next 2 years, we'd end up with a kind of a long-term effect or lasting effect of 1.3%. So, okay, with that background information, I wanted to just take a minute and tell you how we did the forecast. We start with the published forecast from February. We developed scenarios that had to do with the depth and duration of the main event, the recovery from the virus and economic effects, and then something like lasting effects. So we developed and presented to you at the last workshop, we've presented three scenarios, and we talked about two more. These are those scenarios. These were created in like the last week in April. These all have the same, roughly the same of main event, which is a 58% reduction over 3 months or 4 months. And the variation has to do with the length and depth of the recovery, how long and how bad it is during the recovery. The idea of these scenarios is to cover an optimistic outlook and a pessimistic outlook. And this happens as you look from the scenarios from A to E, they get more pessimistic. So scenario A has a full recovery in 8 months. Scenario B has a full recovery in a little bit longer in 21 months. Scenario C assumes a bit longer main event, has a slower recovery and lasting effects of 2.5%. Scenario D assumes a second wave of the disease, has a deeper and longer duration of recovery, and has a 2.5% reduction for lasting effects. Scenario E, which is the most pessimistic, has a second wave of the disease with an even deeper and longer duration of recovery and with a 5% lasting effects. When we're talking about lasting effects, if you added up the first two, the telecommuting and the effects on the theme parks, it comes out like the 2.5%. We created some modified scenarios, C, D, and E, based on your request from the last workshop. So I'm going to talk about this chart. I'm going to explain it first and then talk about the numbers. Prior to the workshop, the discussion focused on the year-over-year growth between 2020 and 2021. So this chart focuses on that. The top part of the chart shows the monthly impacts during those first two fiscal years. The months are in the rows and the scenarios are in the columns. Below the main table, you'll see impacts for each alternative, annual impacts for 2020 and 21. As percentages and as dollar impacts. And then below that, you see the forecast of available revenue with those impacts included. The very last line has the year-over-year growth. Okay, so this is the same table with some different notes on the side. First, when we talk about the numbers, the very first column has the actual percentages for the first, almost 3 months. And generally, the impacts over here are more severe than what we've experienced to date. This was updated just before this. We originally started with these at 60, but you see in scenarios, and then the base case, let me go one at a time. The base case, we have no impacts, but we have, these are the revenues that I started to show you between 20 and 2021. And here is the 7.6% growth rate. Okay, so now scenario C has very deep impact that lasts 4 months. And then after that, it goes, declines until there's a 10% impact in December, and that lasts through the rest of the year. The overall impacts are bigger in 2021 than 2020, even though the 2020 impacts are more severe. They're only for three and a half months. But if you add up all these impacts for 2021, they're bigger. And when you get to the bottom, this was the problem, was that there was a positive growth, year-over-year growth. This was the problem the discussion point we had in the last issue, last workshop. And part of this is due to the big increase over here. So it's not that the impacts are smaller, it's that there's some growth to overcome. So we created, based on that discussion and your directions, we created a scenario C prime that has, in order to get no growth at the bottom, we increase the impacts in fiscal 2021. And you can see them. I've highlighted them in both face numbers. And that basically just added more $13.4 million of impacts in 2021. And the result is no growth in that scenario, year-over-year growth, zero. We created a scenario D prime. And you can see some slight changes from what we had last time. But this gets you minus 2.5% year-over-year growth, and we created scenario E, E prime, as comes out 5.7% growth. Okay, just to finish this discussion about the impacts, in scenario C and C prime, in the second year we're at minus 5%. Impacts, and then 2.5% reduction from there on out. For scenario D, it's 10% through the second year, the beginning of the second year. In year three, it declines to 5%, and then stays at 5% through 4.5 years, and then declines to 2.5% years beginning in year five. Scenario E has a 10% reduction up through the fourth year, and then comes out at the end of that at minus 5% beginning in year five, and stays at that from there on out. These are the differences from I'm sorry, these are the impacts from the revenue impacts for each of the scenarios, A, B, C, C prime, D prime, and E prime. A and B are over, are, you can see the impacts are over with. In A, it's in just 2 years. In B, it's a little bit in the third year. Scenario C has these impacts and a continuing impact at 2.5%. The difference between C and C prime is only in that one number. It's $13.4 million lower. Scenario D has impacts that last 5 years before you get to the 2.5%. And then scenario E has impacts, again, through 5 years plus it continues out at 5% impacts. Okay, this is a graph of the revenues. Let me point them out. It's the first, the base forecast is in this top line. Scenario A is over here, blue, dark blue. Scenario B is this yellow color. And scenario A is back in 2 years. Scenario B recovers in the third year. All the other scenarios have some kind of lasting effect. Scenario C is this orange line. Scenario C prime is the red line. The only difference is that scenario C had a slight positive growth year over year. Scenario C prime is flat. Scenario D prime is 2.5% below. Scenarios D is 2.5% below. And scenario E prime is 5.7 below. You can see these two scenarios have 5 years of recovery, like the Great Recession. So with the commitment, the CFX commitment to frequent updates and continue looking at it, CDM Smith still recommends scenario C. We're okay with scenario C prime. It's slightly more conservative if that's what you wanted to do, but we think there's the scenario C is probably got it covered. Our next steps for us are to CDM Smith will continue to monitor and report on traffic and revenue weekly. We'll continue to follow government actions and pronouncements. We'll prepare reports on traffic and revenue for your monthly meetings. And we expect to review traffic and revenue estimates of the financial plan quarterly. And we, of course, will be prepared to officially reassess TNR when it proves necessary. So that concludes my presentation. Are there questions for me?
Any questions? I don't have any chat requests. Do any board members have any questions? You have a question, Commissioner Vanderlei.
Yeah, maybe you'll get to this later on, but I'm trying to get my arms around. Maybe I'm just missing it. I'm trying to get my arms around the growth, and I want to make sure that what we're talking about is increase in ridership, or are we talking about an increase because we're expanding our system? I'm just trying to get my arms around what that growth rate correlates to so that I can make a better judgment call on this. Am I being clear?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, when you think of these as we did it at impacts from the base forecast, and the impacts are bigger in the second year than they are in the first year. They're longer. They're not as deep, but they're longer. In scenario C, C prime D, and all through E, the kind of the middle through the end, the most pessimistic. But the thing that we didn't get to talk about at the last board meeting was that there are reasons why there is growth between 2020 and 2021. These include the fact that there was hurricane in 2020, right, which brings us down $5 million. There is also impact. There are also Point Siena is a new CFX facility that came in, right? So it's coming in. It's in already. We're counting that money. So if there was no if COVID-19 had not happened, we would have had a very good year this year. We would have had like easily had 7.6% growth. And that was borne out actually by actuals up through the time when it started. We were doing very well. And the changes in the rate adjustments, those are things that happen every year. And the pay-by-plate rate is something that's there too. So those things are real. They're here, and they're reasons why you'd expect year-over-year growth from 20 to 21 to be not flat. It was going to be a very good year, and now when you take out the impacts, more impacts in 21 than in 20, you still could have a positive, slightly positive growth. It's not a. It didn't bother me. So does that explain it?
I think so. So what you're saying in essence and what I'm trying to get my arms around is, so the growth rate that you're showing is not just increase in ridership, it's also increase in the system,
yes,
roads, that type of thing, and
yes,
also the pay-by-plate increase rates as well. So it's a number, yep, different, coming from a number of different, because I think,
yes,
the impression that at least I walked away with at the last one was we were talking about an increase in ridership. And I think that was at least for me, that was a big sticking point if the whole thing was based on that. So
that was never the case. It was, and we just never talked about it. To be fair, I wish I had, but it got to the point where I couldn't stop and explain it. So I'm glad we have a chance to talk about it now.
Okay. Thank you. And maybe you don't have this handy, but I'd be interested to know of that growth rate, what's the percentage of growth rate that we're attributing to the pay-by-plate? What's the percentage of growth rate we're attributing to increased ridership? And what's the percentage by the expanded system? So I don't know if you have that handy, but...
Yes, I do.
Okay, good.
It was one of my... let me see if I...
Forgive the rudimentary questions. I'm just trying to make sure I'm dumbing it down,
yeah,
so I can understand.
No problem. No problem. This is the 7.6% of that. The hurricane, you know, of course, it's not a real source of growth. It's just a comparison. So, but if the hurricane hadn't happened, you know, this would have been we're not counting more revenue because it's not in this year, which it was in that one. That's about 1.1% of the total. The Point Siena Parkway is like almost 1%, and the rate adjustments are 4.8%. I mean, we have rate adjustment and we have the pay-by-plate. The pay-by-plate's the bigger of the two.
Okay, thank you. I'll hush up now and listen to the other smart questions now.
That was a good question, I thought.
All right, we're going to go to Commissioner Arrington and then Commissioner Parks. So, Commissioner Arrington.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the time. Real quick question. Obviously, looking at the scenarios, I almost wanted to ask the question, or I should say, I want to apologize if I ran over someone's cat, because a lot of the impacts seem to be projects that are obviously oriented in Osceola County throughout the list. And even our scenario C, and maybe I'm wrong, from my last understanding, when we looked at scenario C, it was delaying Osceola Parkway out of the five-year work program. Now it's obviously the 10 years beginning in 2034. And there was also a remove the design phase of Southport Connector Expressway from the 15-year plan added to that. I say added because I don't remember it being part of the conversation last time. And so I guess my question kind of comes, is there a reason we're looking at, do all the scenarios, nixing projects that are going to tap new folks and create new revenue as opposed to adding existing lanes to sources we already have that we're going to see a decrease in ridership? So I just don't understand the principle on why we would nix new projects that would create new lines of revenue as opposed to maybe nixing expansions on current roadways that are already being serviced and would obviously have a diminished level of usage under what's being proposed. So if anyone could explain that to me, I'd really appreciate it.
Commissioner Glenn Presimo, in the second part of the presentation, will go into those scenarios, but I can tell you, and he will emphasize this, that projects that will move out with every intention of moving them back in as funds become available, because any of these scenarios, of course, are just forecasts. And we typically are very conservative on our forecasts. And I could see a situation where in a year we're starting to move some of these back in. But our priorities as set out in the CFX master plan give priority to maintaining the existing system and traffic, and then contemplating additions to the system in that order. So that's the reasoning behind it, but I'd rather have Glenn go into more detail about it when we get to his slides.
All right, thank you, ma'am.
Commissioner Arrington, after Glenn makes his presentation, I'll come back to you to see if that answered your questions. Okay.
Thanks so much.
Commissioner Parks?
Yeah, well, I recently gave up caffeine, so Commissioner Vanderlei, I'm not sure I have a smarter question, but the question I have is there any way to attribute, and maybe it's in the presentation again, but to attribute, I don't want to say tourism, but anybody that's traveling, including residents within our region that are using our system for travel, travel only if it could be vacation within the state, or obviously anybody that's out of state or out of region visiting us, what percentage of ridership is that? And is there also a way to track the percentage of ridership related to construction within, you know, new home construction, commercial construction within our region? Did you get into those details? I know that might not be in the presentation, but is that factored into this? Thank you.
Mr. Miller, you want to address this? Mr. Miller, are you still with us?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
I'm sorry. they're good questions, Sean. For me, one of the things we tried to do, we actually spent some time trying to get a number out of some information we got from the airport about trips between the airport and various theme parks. They have a survey. We felt a little bit we're missing. We didn't have a detailed number, but we came up with roughly the same percentage that I showed you. I think the process I showed you about impacts on tourism came out roughly the same, and it was a little easier to present. But they're included in, certainly they're included in all the numbers and all our travel demand models are designed to replicate existing traffic patterns, and that's how they work. Tourist trips are handled based out of motels. It's very technical things, but it's in there is what I want to say. It's like the spaghetti sauces, they're in there. So does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. It does. And I understand there's, I've kind of figured you, that was probably one of the things that took you a long time to a lot of
yes,
effort to
yes.
put into the model. And is it fair for me to say that there's still some judgment call to it? And that obviously I think you've got, you know, good judgment and your experience in what you do, but for all of us, there's still some judgment call to this, right? When it comes to
yes,
forecasting,
yes,
that, especially when it comes to people's
yes,
mentality of taking a trip and they're going to get on our roads and people that are going to come to us, visit us from out of state. Hopefully they do that a lot more this summer. But that's some of that's still a judgment call.
We're going to see it as it happens.
Okay. Yeah. And then just obviously perceptions and numbers. And I'm only speaking for Lake County, the housing starts and knowing that people are coming from from other parts of the region to build homes or buildings in Lake County too. Just seeing some of the numbers, that's just fact. I have to factor that into the how we look at all this.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Carey. Hugh and team, I think you've done a fantastic job at laying out detail month by month, year by year, and detail by detail that has given me a much different vision of the projection than I had before. I think you're spot on in that we underestimated the growth that was buried in the previous discussion. And part of that is just the psyche of the gloom and doom that we're living in these days, right? But I just want to go back and understand the big picture perspective. The big picture perspective is we went from a slight growth, I think it was a 1% projected growth, to a recommendation of a 2.5% decrease, and it spread over time. That changes the impact of planning. I just want to make sure I understand it correctly. And that perspective is based on the fact that there are lingering effects that were brought up that are now taken into consideration and spread over time. Is that a fair statement, a fair understanding?
Mr. Miller, you need to unmute your mic. Yeah. Well. We still can't hear you, even though you've unmuted your mic.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I'm having a problem if I'm sharing the screen. It seems like I've lost control of the mic. Sorry about that.
Well, hopefully everyone received the presentation. And if you have it up, he's on page 10 of the presentation is where he went back, which shows the impacts of C prime, D, and E.
Can you hear me now, Commissioner?
Yes, we can hear you.
I'm so sorry. I was having a problem connecting. When I was trying to show it, I lost control of the mic. The question was your question. We had recommended alternative C, which had a positive growth rate year over year, in a small positive growth rate year over year. But that was the only difference between that and C prime, was that we set C prime to be flat, which is one of the scenarios you want as a group you asked us to look at. So we developed that one. That's C prime. And that is one that we think is like the middle of the road. It has greater than 50% reductions for 4 months through July, and then has declining from 50 to 10% in March next year, like a whole year, and then declines and has 2.5% after. And that one is a little more conservative than one that we recommended, and either one is fine with us.
So just to be clear, in either of the C scenarios, neither one of them contemplate a second wave of coronavirus, correct?
Yes, you're correct. Not much difference in scenarios. C prime, we had goosed up the numbers and to get that. It's the difference in impacts between C and C prime and D prime is only $9 million in 2021. Not much different.
Okay. So again, if you're looking at page 10, you can see the variable D and E, as I recall, both anticipate a second wave with 59-month recovery, and D has a 2.5% lasting effect, and
yes.
E has a 5% lasting effect. So
yes.
C prime really represents the first thing we asked you to do, which was go back and look at keeping everything flat. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So do all the board members follow what they did? So C is what they recommended last time. C prime is flat. And then the two deeper scenarios that include second wave, 59 months recovery, and then the difference between 2.5% and 5% lasting effects. Okay. Any other questions from the board? All right. Thank you, Mr. Miller. We're going to go now, I guess, to Ms. Lombard and Mr. Presmo for their presentation.
Good morning, board members. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Now that Hugh has presented his projections, Glenn and I are going to walk you through each scenario and their impacts to the entire budget, which includes operations, maintenance, and administration, and the work plan. First, I want to start out highlighting some of CFX strengths and how we're prepared for the current situation we are in. Because of the conservatism that we use in our planning, such as the growth rate for expenses in the work plan, to the cushion we add to the interest rates for future bond issuances, as of May 15th, we have almost 2 years cash on hand to use to continue operating at our current level and a reserve balance of over $160 million. In addition, we have approximately $460 million in the construction fund from the bond issuance we did late last year that has to be spent in the next 2 years. This graph shows where the green line, where the actual debt service ratio has been at the end of the year versus what we had planned in the financial plan. This is scenario C, and it has not changed from the last board workshop. Staff began working on the budget in early January based on Hugh's base scenario. And when we had to change track due to COVID-19, we started with the current fiscal year budget and then where we were projecting to come in at the end of this year, and we started to cut from there. Operations was reduced by $1.5 million.
Good morning, board members. As presented at the board workshop on May 14th, the proposed work plan supporting scenario C totals approximately $2.71 billion. For this scenario, construction of the Osceola Parkway extension will be delayed by 10 years to begin in January of 2034, and design of the South Fork Connector Expressway will be removed from the 15-year plan. With comments by Commissioner Arrington, I just wanted to say that delaying the construction of the Osceola Parkway extension should not at all be interpreted as a reduced commitment to deliver that important regional project. Construction of the Osceola Parkway extension was originally scheduled in the plan to occur after both the Lake Orange Connector Expressway and the Poinciana Parkway Expressway construction began. And therefore, delaying construction of this project, it provides for the maximum time for the toll revenues to rebound before construction activities are actually scheduled to begin. As such, Scenario C retains all the design and the right-of-way acquisition for the Osceola Parkway extension, and future updates, as Hugh suggested in his presentation, will hopefully allow for construction of this project to be advanced forward prior to 2034.
Mr. Presimo, because I don't have the work plan with me, but what was the date for the Osceola Parkway extension to begin construction originally?
It would have been in 2024. It's exactly 10 years. January of 2024. Yeah, we had given about a year to go through the FCT and that process. That's how it got itself separated from the Lake Orange and the Poinciana Parkway, because there was a year buffer to let that approval happen, and then design was going to start after that, and that brought us to 2024 for construction.
All right, thank you.
Here's scenario C prime that Hugh talked about, and the debt service ratio goes down to a 1.63. In addition to the previous cut of $1.5 million, we will need to reduce operations by an additional $2 million, which is actually the interoperability fee with SunPath. And this is a proportional decrease based on projected traffic for scenario C prime.
The proposed work plan supporting scenario C prime totals approximately $2.55 billion. In addition to the impacts previously discussed for scenario C, the right-of-way acquisition for Osceola Parkway extension will be delayed by 10 years to begin in April of 2032, and all project phases of the State Route 528 Dallas Boulevard interchange will be delayed for a year and a half to begin in April of 2024.
This is scenario D prime that Hugh talked about, and the debt service ratio goes down to a 1.59 next year. Since this scenario has traffic decreasing for a longer period of time, we will have to reduce operations by an additional $2 million on top of the $3.5 million already reduced in the previous scenarios to get to our planning target of a 1.6. And once again, this is a proportional reduction based on the projected traffic in scenario D prime.
The proposed work plan supporting scenario D prime totals approximately $2.25 billion. In addition to the impacts previously discussed for scenarios C and C prime, construction of the Lake Orange Expressway will be delayed by 3.5 years to begin in October of 2026.
And then this is scenario E prime that you had talked about. This is the scenario that has the longest, most severe impact to CFX revenue. In addition to the previous reduction of $5.5 million, we will have to reduce operations by another $11 million, and that will get us to a debt service ratio of a 1.57, which is still below our planning target of a 1.6. Because of the immense impact that this scenario has to our traffic, we would have to basically eliminate cash collection. Staff does not believe that this scenario is something we should plan to now because the services that would need to be cut are not easily re-implemented.
The proposed work plan in support of this scenario E prime totals approximately $2.05 billion. In addition to the impacts previously discussed for scenario C, C prime, and D prime, all project phases of the State Route 528 Dallas Boulevard interchange would be removed from the 15-year plan. Construction of the Poinciana Parkway extension will be delayed by 4 years to begin in January of 2027. And funding for State Route 408 operational improvements will be reduced by approximately 55% through year 15 of the planning period. At this point, we're gonna turn it over to Laura to wrap it up.
There we go. Just a reminder to the board members that we do have controls in place that ensure that we have all of the cash in the bank before we start a project now. In this situation, we make sure that before a procurement ever moves forward, that the cash is in the bank. So there's virtually no risk of overspending. And also, I'd also like to point out that we do have cash reserves. We have significant cash reserves of over $160 million. And the difference between the C prime and D prime are far less than the reserves that we have set aside. And if we do experience a second wave of this disease, we, because of the controls that Lisa and Glenn have in place, we can easily move to a D prime scenario without any pain or huge changes in the process. So I just wanted to let you know that we are very flexible as an agency, and we'll be able to respond if the traffic is better than we expect and if it's worse. So that concludes my comments, and of course, we'll open it up to questions, Chairman.
Okay, so can you take the presentation down so that I can see the board members? And the first hand up I have is Mayor Dyer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. So I appreciate the work that was put into this. The scenarios are all based on what we asked them to do, right? So they backed into scenarios that flat at 2.5% and 5%. What I wanted to completely understand is if we pick any of those scenarios, either the small growth of C or the no growth of C prime or D prime, the effect on the operations. So could you do that again, Lisa? Just take us on the effect on operations, not the construction program or the five-year work plan, but the differences between C, C prime, and D prime on the operation of the authority.
Do you want to see the presentation slides for that while she goes through it? Is that easier for everybody to follow along?
Well, they just say operations will be reduced by another $2 million.
Yeah. Okay.
What does that represent?
Okay. Do you understand the question, Glenn?
Yes, I do. So because of this each scenario, the traffic is decreased a little bit more in each scenario. Operations would have to be cut by an additional, we might have less hours of cash collectors in the lane in scenario C prime versus scenario C. And then visitor toll pass would be impacted in all the scenarios. So based on the travel forecast and the lower traffic, we would try to cut where we're being impacted the most.
Did I hear you say something about interaction with SunPass?
The interoperability fee, we are decreasing by $2 million just based on the lower traffic volume and our larger share that we're starting to have of E-Pass versus SunPass on our roads.
Laura, Lisa, is that, that is a per transaction charge, correct? So you just figure the operational impact goes down to our payment to SunPass when the traffic goes down.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, Mayor Dyer.
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Do you want them to go through the D scenario as well? You had your mic was coming on.
I actually think that our two viable options are C and C prime. I agree with Laura that if we had to come back with a second wave of the pandemic, we can't plan on that happening now. We should move into that mode if it actually happens. So I was just trying to get an understanding of, you know, the impact on the agency if we do C or C prime. I don't really see D as being viable for us right now.
Right, I would agree with that. But I think with the addition of the monthly traffic and revenue update at every board meeting, I think we'll, you know, if we see something getting off kilter, it would be easy for us to then go back and see what happens next. I don't think we can plan for the, you know, for a second wave. Hopefully that doesn't happen. And as Mayor Deming and I were talking earlier, Orange County is, you know, their numbers have been pretty low, as has Seminole and I think Osceola and Lake. I mean, it, compared to other states and other areas of the state. So C prime is just staying flat. And of course, C is what they recommended before. So other questions from board members? I have Commissioner Vanderlei and then Commissioner Arrington. Mr. Vanderlei.
Thank you, Chairman Carey. I guess that my comment is that now that we've got a better understanding of where these numbers have come from and the generation and maybe tying it, at least in my thinking, more to why the increases were represented in the first place and where they came from, I'm very comfortable moving forward with the C scenario that's recommended. However, I do want to underscore that this is a really fluid situation and there's a whole lot we don't know and a whole lot beyond our control. So I would like to make sure that we have a more robust, that like we talked about, a more robust reporting on our finances each month as relates to where we are with our ridership and expansion and all of that type of thing. So that if the C projection doesn't hold true, we can be pretty nimble in terms of reacting to that. So I just wanted to put that out there for conversation.
Okay. Commissioner Arrington, and then I've got Commissioner Parks.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Real quick, I was just trying to get that follow-up from Glenn on why it went from the five-year program to a 10-year delay on Osceola Parkway, and also how the Southport design made it into C, which I'm comfortable probably staying, as Mayor Dyer said and others, C is probably where I'm most comfortable at, but I just would love to have a little better understanding of how that got in there. specifically the extension of the design project as well.
Mr. Pressemeyer,
Can you hear me? I'm sorry, Commissioner.
Yeah, we can hear you now. There's just a delay, and I wanted to make sure you heard the commissioner's question. All right.
Sorry. The Southport design, it was part of the previous presentation. I'm not sure. Maybe I didn't mention it in my talking points. I can go back and check. I apologize if that was the case. There were two projects that were impacted, and one of those was the Osceola, and the other was the Southport design. As you know, we have that PD&E study just starting now, and that's about a two-year endeavor on the PD&E study. So with the same philosophy, we're very hopeful that we can pull design of Southport back forward as we learn more as time goes on. Something that we did a lot of looking into, and I'll call it soul searching, was on the existing system program, the big widening program on the south part of 417 and on 429. From Hugh's graphs coming, he did the blow up of the Great Recession. And on the previous board workshop 2 weeks ago, he had the rest of that graph that got into the extraordinary growth that has occurred over the last 5 years. So the widenings of those portions of 417 and 429 have been on our radar. And what we do is we try and predict the year of need for when that extra capacity is needed, and then start the design project in time to meet that year of need. When the slope of that line and the growth over the last 5 years went significantly more vertical, we caught ourselves behind in those two corridors. And the heat maps that you see from time to time, I think we do them quarterly now, it shows those corridors as stressed during the peak hours significantly. We had nearly 100% growth in traffic in the south part of 417 and that middle part of 429 over the five-year period. And so looking at Hugh's projections, we felt that we may have just caught back up on the time that we lost on those widenings, and we wanted to keep that program going and take care of the existing system, because as Laura said, through our master planning process, that existing system almost always has gone first before expansion projects. We gotta take care of the existing system. So because Hugh was looking at, you know, a coming back with 2.5% maybe decline, it was not enough to move the needle to say that those widening projects were going to be postponed anywhere that would make sense to put them out. So we kept that program just as it was. And those are the two big areas. It's the 429 and the 417. That's where the majority of the dollars are going. Milling and resurfacing, I think there's like $80 million in the plan for all the milling and resurfacing. Those aren't the kind of dollars we needed to move out. We needed to get to scenario C. We had to remove about $650 million out of the plan. Those kind of dollars aren't in the widening program as a whole for one project here and there. You'd have to get rid of the whole widening program in order to cover that. So that's why we had to really pursue construction phases of these very large expansion projects, and we chose the one that was the furthest out in the schedule. That's why it was Osceola, so that we could have the longest time to get a recovery to bring that back in. Does that answer your question, sir?
It does. I mean, thank you for the detailed response. I mean, and I understand the rationale behind it. Obviously, I'm being a little bit of a homer. I'm obviously not happy with any time anything gets pushed out of Osceola County, and so I'll be honest with you there. So I just wanted to just raise awareness to that. But thank you for the explanation. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, Commissioner Parks.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I just wanted to say that I appreciate everybody's the great discussion and your input on this. And You know, there's nothing more important of a statement that we make as through a policy statement as the budget. So I thank you for staff for the extensive data gathering that you did over the last 2 weeks. I support scenario C and the continuous, as Commissioner Vanderlei and other board members have said, the continuous reporting back to us, I think so that we're flexible and nimble to make adjustments would be a good prudent conservative measure, if you will, that we're gonna do that. So sounds like we're all on the same page there. And I do appreciate what Commissioner Arrington just said, and I thank you, Glenn, for explaining that. I wish there was a way that as we make this budget policy statement, there would be a way to show that, you know, because it can be construed negatively. Obviously, we're putting a big construction project off in Osceola County. There would be a way to maybe let people know that we're gonna, you know, reevaluate that, and perhaps that gets put back on the list as soon as next year and moved back onto the schedule it was originally scheduled for. So I, long way of saying that if there's a way to try to put a positive statement out about, even if we pass this budget, that we still support that Osceola Parkway extension, which I think is the most important one that Commissioner Arrington was talking about, that we would show that we're gonna just reevaluate that and try to get back on schedule pending some good data, maybe at the end of this half of the year or something, I don't know. But just my thoughts, and again, I support the scenario C. Thank you.
Well, and sometimes it's the first ones to come out, and I would agree, but I think that if you look at Osceola County, everybody would agree that the Point Siena Parkway project moving forward is the most important project for them, and that would remain in the program. So, you know, again, I think that we have to, you know, if we want to take C, if that's the will of the majority, I mean, we're not going to vote on that today. This is just our workshop to move whatever the consensus of the board is to the June meeting for formal action. And clearly, my question, Glenn, would be what kind of revenue, if we see that this starts to come back, I mean, you said your impact to the work program operations would have to be reduced by 1.5 in scenario C, and our five-year work plan total, 2.71 billion. So what kind of revenue recovery would you need to see to be able to put those projects back in? 100%?
That's a hard question to answer because it's actually, because of how we fund the work plan, we have to know what our revenue projections are out over the next 10 years. So we would have to know how much, even though traffic comes back, we'd have to get projections to say that it's gonna keep going at that percentage out a couple of years, because that's how we plan the bond financing. So I'd be able to find that out through our financial analysis when we go back and do different scenarios.
You can answer that at the next meeting. I just think that when we put a press release out there that, you know, if we can explain at what point it would be put back into the program, or, you know, or that we're looking at it every month. I mean, I think the most important part of this is that we look at the traffic and revenue reporting every month, and that way we can make adjustments. If we see we can put something back in the program, we put it back. If we see that we have to take something out and do more drastic measures, you're prepared to do that. And I think that's the most prudent way for us to move forward until we get through this. I mean, we're just coming into hurricane season on top of this. So fingers crossed that we don't have any issues there. Even if COVID goes away tomorrow, I mean, something else could happen. You know, Mother Nature could raise her head in a different way. And then we find ourselves, you know, having this discussion again. So because of the impacts that this has had, I just think that that being on the agenda every month until it no longer needs to be. So, okay, so it sounds so far what I've heard from various commissioners is that scenario C, which is a 3% growth, is what you're leaning toward instead of a C prime. You need to clarify the difference, C or C prime. So, others, I don't have any more chat requests. Anybody want to raise your hand or comments, Commissioner or Ms. Herr?
I think by the very nature of C versus C prime, it's supportive of the Osceola Parkway because of the right-of-way purchase. So that's the big variable between the two, at least that I see. I am more comfortable by nature in the more conservative scenario of C1 and then moving back, C prime moving back. That is just the nature of my budgeting process. This is a little bit different from the perspective of the message that it conveys to the community. So I can be unflexible. I am more comfortable with C prime.
Okay. So just Commissioner Smith, before I have you talk, I just want to make sure I've got everybody down right. I have Mr. Vanderlei as C, Mr. Arrington as C, Mr. Parks as C, Ms. Herr as C prime, and Mayor Dyer, were you a C or a C prime?
You can put me down as C.
Okay. All right, Commissioner Smith. And then I'll see, Mayor Deming unmuted your mic, so I'll get to you next. Commissioner Smith? You need to unmute your mic, Commissioner.
Okay, now you can hear me. Okay. C prime or C works for me. The information that we received this morning makes me feel much more comfortable. And when Lisa was talking about the flexibility that CFX has to shift gears quickly, that gave me another level of comfort. So I'm good with either one of those.
Okay, Mayor Demme.
Good morning. I'm comfortable with either C or C prime, and I say that because none of us really have a crystal ball. These are all models, and so they take into consideration what perhaps we know today, and then there's a lot we don't know. All of you all know that from an Orange County perspective, I thought that when we were advancing the sales tax initiative to the ballot for this year, that it would have been critical to the overall, I think, connectivity of the entire region's transportation system. But obviously, because of the pandemic that we find ourselves in, we had to really make some adjustments there. And I've suspended our efforts in Orange County until likely 2022. And so all of these related projects as we are a growing community may have to be reevaluated in terms of the timeliness. I think some of the expansions were related to projections for expanded traffic on our roadways and due to growth within our region. And even the growth, the population growth models and all of that, I think potentially are going to have to be reevaluated over time, and we'll likely see some kind of delay. But for me, I'm good with either C or C prime in terms of public policy decision that has to go forward. I believe that the staff did a good job of articulating the pros and cons of each one. So I just stop there and say that I'm comfortable with either direction that we're taking in that regard.
Okay. Well, and because if we're monitoring this every month and can make adjustments, I would support the C as well. And I'm usually pretty conservative, but I tell you what makes me feel comfortable with going with C versus C prime. We have historically, for the last 3 or 4 years, been above our projections in revenue. And we have $160 million in reserves, 2 years cash on hand, which is a very strong position. So I just feel like if we're monitoring it monthly, we can make adjustments if we need to. if we see that it's going into a deep dive, we can get our work plan back out and evaluate that and see maybe there was something else we need to do. I know that our staff works closely with all the members in the region to monitor, you know, where the housing starts are at, where your development is occurring at, and all of that kind of stuff to be prepared for future growth that's going on. But it's been the policy of this board and developing our master plan since I've been on the board to make sure that the roads that we have enough capacity to handle what's on them today. So at any board meeting, you can change those policies, you can change direction. And I just am comfortable with C as long as we have that traffic and revenue reporting every month so we can make an adjustment off if we need to. So with that direction, if anybody else has comments, we'll take those now. And if not, that'll be the direction to staff to prepare that for the June board meeting for action or vote on the budget at the June 11th meeting. Okay, doesn't look like I have any other questions, Ms. Kelly.
I just wanted to say that we'll also have a draft report for you. A traffic and revenue report for your review at that June 11th meeting, and you can give us your suggestions as we move forward and monitor every month.
Okay, I'd like it to be on the agendas for the next 6 months to actually have a presentation, because just getting a report, many times we have questions. I think it's easier for the public to follow along if we have a presentation and then the board can ask questions and then go back to the slides and things like that. So I'd like it to be an agenda item and just every month. I mean, it, you know, if we're ahead of schedule, great. You know, we'll hear some of that for the prior months. You know, because our treasury report lags a month behind, I think the traffic and revenue projection update is real time. And so I'd like it just to be a presentation every meeting.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So just out of curiosity, while I have some of our other elected leaders here, I'm curious as to what, I know we're looking at our budget and y'all are all looking at your budgets, and what are y'all thinking going forward with your own budgets? I know we just went through our budget workshop. This has had a 20% impact on our budget, on our revenue streams, which is about $18 million for Seminole County. And so we're trying to figure out where we're going to make those cuts and, you know, what are we doing with, you know, the salaries and those kind of things. And I know our staff always want to go and talk to other jurisdictions to see what they're doing. So have any of y'all gotten far enough along in your conversations that you know kind of where you're headed with your own budgets? Mr. Parks?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'll just in brief fashion just tell you that we're projecting 20% hit to our penny sales tax. TDT is in that same range, tourist development tax. But our property values with new growth overall about 5% increase. We'll see how that goes next year. Although this is total anecdotal, I believe with all the, again, all the transactions and land transactions and plans and permit submittals that I've seen literally just over the last couple weeks into the county, I'm not sure that'll slow down this year for us in Lake County. And we're still behind. We just got it like you just did our CAFR reports, and so our net position's a little bit lower, but we'll have some FRS to deal to be concerned with. We'll see what kind of a hit we take there. I hope that from a standpoint of our reserve is only about 8%. I'd like for that to be 15 to 20% is what it should be.
Right.
So we're I'm not sure, you know, there's always discussion, and Lake County is very conservative. There's always a discussion of, you know, continuing to roll back millage rate. And I'm not sure where, this is just my opinion, of course, we're in a position to do that significantly with our reserves being low like they are going into hurricane season again. Trying not to be dependent upon, you know, federal money in an emergency situation, although that's what they're there to help us. But we'd like to be a little more independent when it comes to that, from my perspective. So budget, it's going to be interesting for us to say over the next couple of months as to what we do there. I'm promoting an incentive program out of our general fund. We don't get CARES Act money for economic assistance right now, like some of the other counties in the region have. Hopefully through the Florida Association of Counties and League of Cities effort that we'll get some of that money that's been held at the state, about $1.27 billion, if I'm correct on that. That $21.5 million coming to Lake County, as they project, could be of great assistance to us when it comes to economic incentives, and certainly would help us maybe perhaps with our some of our infrastructure projects that we're going to potentially put off, some of our road resurfacing, and we'll put it off. We won't take them off the list, but it'll delay it further out for us. So I hope that that's, we get that assistance to us through CARES Act.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll just reiterate kind of what Commissioner Park said. We're looking at about a 20% decrease. We haven't gotten that deep into it currently. We obviously, like Lake County, are growing like crazy as well. So we will see some probably uptick in our in that side. But we've even had discussions of TDT revenue and how Experience Kissimmee is funded next year, and maybe 50% of what their budget was this year. So that could take a dramatic hit as well. And obviously, there are no pay raises, and it's a hiring freeze as well. So there probably will not be any new positions added in Osceola County. So, but once again, we haven't gotten that deep in it, but that's the early projections of what we're looking at. And there again, we have not received any CARES Act funding either. We're hoping those funds do get released. I know Seminole County is in that same boat, unfortunately. And that has definitely put a big burden on what our budget's going to look like as well. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Well, I know in Orange County, the funds that Orange County and the city of Orlando have released, those programs are really helpful to the small businesses there. So, you know, we're rolling out a program where a small business can get up to $5,000 through some CDBG accounting funds and some other funds that we had. But yeah, it's a real struggle when you're under that 500,000 threshold and having to fight for that money. So, okay. Anybody else? Mayor Demings?
In Orange County, we expect our budget to remain flat. At this point, we've frozen hiring, with the exception of jobs within the public safety, health, or critical positions. I expect that we will continue to see a decline in our sales tax revenues, our gas tax revenues, our TDT revenues, and so. With the significant decline in the TDT revenues, we will likely have to make some modifications in some of our plans related to expanding our convention center and some other things. So I think, though, however, that, you know, going forward, if we manage the recovery efforts as best as we can, our goal is to recover faster than later. So we've had different presentations from economists such as Dr. Sean Snait, and we believe that we'll probably see revenues decline for the next anywhere from 2 to 5 years. So it all depends on really how fast we get re-going. And obviously, within the last few days, major theme parks announce their reopenings, and we'll see how that goes, because we still have a pandemic within our communities here in Central Florida. And what the epidemiologists and the Department of Health and others have said to me is that there's never been a pandemic where there was not a second wave that occurred. But looking at our data, we peaked in terms of the total number of active positive cases back in early April. And it is believed that the second wave will occur, where we will likely reach about 50% of what that peak was back in April, and that will happen perhaps sometimes in the fall. So our goal is to try to minimize that to the extent that we can, because even going back to when we peaked, we did not have and we didn't overwhelm the capacity of our hospital system, so we were well able to take care of the emerging needs at that time. So we're all buying time, obviously, until a vaccine is created. And until that vaccine is created, this virus is going to continue to live amongst us. And so if we are not judicious in how we open up with kind of managing the sanitary issues as we reopen for business, we could have catastrophic results. So, you know, that's my insistence, is that, you know, related to our economy, we do have to have some measured reopening efforts associated with this, because if you're like me, I don't have to go through this again at all. So as we reopen, we better do it right. And we've endeavored to try to have a regional approach. And so each week, we do have a regional conference call with the surrounding counties and the chairs in those counties, and have some conversation about having some similarities in how we approach things really across the region. And so we're going to endeavor to continue to do that, because that's really how our labor market works. That's how our hospital systems work. They're not just one county. They operate within a system across multiple counties. So we're going to have to continue these kinds of thoughts going forward.
All right, great. Thank you. And thank you for your leadership, too, Mayor Demings, with working with the region as far as, you know, the weekly calls and everybody trying to work together. Mayor Dyer, one mic.
Yeah, we anticipate a status quo budget. Interestingly enough, we're processing more permits right now than we did at this time last year. So construction activity hasn't slowed at all in the community. And I think real estate transactions haven't really slowed down either. So we're not anticipating that our property tax revenues will be down year over year next year. We're more concerned about 21 than we were about finishing out this year, but we'll pretty much be status quo. And we have a reserve policy that says a minimum of 25%. So we've been able to maintain that since I've been mayor, really never dipped below that.
That's good. I know we're at about 24% right now on our reserves, and you know, we, again, it's sales tax. We fund a lot of things off of sales tax. Our school system gets 25% of our penny. Then we share the balance with the city. So all of those projects have taken a big hit, and the tourist development tax, I can see, you know, ours is in the tank, so I know yours right there with it. So when nothing is happening and nothing's being created, that makes it a little bit of a challenge. So, but our general, just it, overall, we're 20% of revenues. So I just was wondering how everybody else was doing. And fingers crossed, Mayor Deming, that your prediction is wrong. So, all right. Well, thank you all for your time this morning. And if there are no other board comments, we will adjourn this meeting. And we'll be online and virtual again on the June 11th meeting. And I look forward to seeing you all then. Thanks.